The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today FM.
We'll have some of the audio of the latest Trump performance after 5 o'clock, but let's just hear a little bit of how he reacted last night to the verdict of the jury in New York that he was guilty on 34 counts.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a sore respect, DA, and the whole thing. We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting, we'll fight till the end, and we'll win. Because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now. From prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists. And they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one. With a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
How many lies can you pack into about in a minute and a half? Carl Thomas, so I can start at you before I go to Marion McKeown, because, okay, predictable that he would make these complaints given the type of personality and character that he is. But would you worry that what he's doing here is trying to undermine the system of law in the United States? Because no matter what he says about the judge and the prosecution, the reality is that a jury of 12 men and women listened to all of the evidence and came to a decision that he was guilty. And if you don't accept that, then particularly when it comes from somebody who once held the office of president, you are undermining one of the fundamentals of American democracy.
Well, Matt, I think the entire process has undermined the credibility of the American justice system. The lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal today says Alvin Bragg, the chief prosecutor, who at first did not want to bring any charges against Trump, saying it was a ridiculous case, inaugurates a new and destabilizing era of American politics. I think the Journal is right. What is going to prevent now a conservative Republican district attorney in a conservative state from filing charges against a Democrat, maybe even Joe Biden, for his open border policy, for a number of other things? This is really bad stuff to politicize the political system, no matter which side you are on. And this judge was conflicted. He's contributed, even though it's small amounts, to Joe Biden's campaign in 2020, to other Democrats. People want to know that a ruling and a judge is dispassionate and doesn't have skin in the game. I think from the judge to Alvin Bragg to the number three prosecutor in the Justice Department who left that position to join a state prosecution team, to the most of the left-wing media in this country, to the judge's daughter who raises money for off of this trial for Democrats. I mean, just looking at this fairly, whatever you think of Trump, this looks like a railroad to me.
But the point that I put to you specifically, Cal, was about the jury. No matter what you say all about right. The prosecutors and what you say about the judge or anybody else who was involved, the 12 members of the jury heard every moment of evidence and they came to the decision that they came to. Why would you undermine, or why would Trump be allowed to undermine the integrity of that jury process?
They didn't hear all of the evidence, Matt. Brad Smith, an expert of the Federal Election Commission, was denied the opportunity to speak on federal election law for the defense. The judge wouldn't allow him to testify. There were a lot of other irregularities in this. And as for the jury, only 5% of the New York City residents voted for Donald Trump. The jurors said during the discovery period that they get all of their news from CNN and the New York Times, which any fair-minded person would say tilts left, certainly the New York Times, which in its reporting and its editorializing and in its columnists have been completely against Trump from the beginning, from the day he came down the escalator at Trump Tower in 2015. Now, look, I don't like his character, but he was not being prosecuted for his character. I think this, again, is a very dangerous case. And at the end of the Wall Street Journal editorial, it says Mr. Bragg, Alvin Bragg, might have opened a new destabilizing era of American politics, and no one can say how it will end.
Marion McKeown, is it true that only 5% of the people of New York voted for Donald Trump in the last presidential election?
I would imagine it's pretty low. I don't have the exact...
It's not. That 5% is... Bull. It is a much bigger number.
I believe that the New York State, there was only 9% between Trump and Biden in the election. So I'm not buying that for a second. But if I can just very quickly address a couple of things that Cal just said. Cal, the jurors, when they were asked what they read, also said that they read the Daily Mail. They got their news from Fox News. Some of them got their news from Truth Social, Trump's website. So I think we've got to, you know, in the interest of just being fair and objective journalists, let's just give all the facts. And, you know, just talking about conflicted judges, I'll give you a conflicted judge. Samuel Alito on the Supreme Court, there's a judge who, the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, flew the January 6th insurrectionist flag above his home and then misled the public about it and lied about it and flew another white Christian nationalist flag over his holiday home and blamed his wife. There is a conflicted judge who's about to rule on two January 6th related cases who should not be allowed to do so. Judge Mershon has an impeccable reputation. He donated $15 to Joe Biden's campaign. I don't think that makes him particularly conflicted. I am really worried about the, and we spoke about this before, the undermining and the delegitimization of American law. Joe Biden, contrary to what Trump is still talking and shooting off at the moment as we speak at a press conference in Trump Tower, he has made so many outright false claims and lies. He may have even violated his gag order. He claimed he wanted to testify, implied he couldn't testify. Nobody stopped him. With regard to the FEC, the former FEC member, Brad Smith, he was allowed to testify. Mershon said he could absolutely testify, but he could not explain the law to the jury, which is absolutely Mershon's job. It is not the job of a witness. He was completely right to limit the scope of that particular bit of testimony. I think that the jury, this was run by New York State. Alvin Bragg initially did not want to bring this case. That is correct. He then decided there was enough evidence to do so. It's nothing to do with any conspiracy. And the Republican senators who should know better, starting with J.D. Vance, who came out and has already called for a criminal investigation into the trial judge, which to me is chilling. This is where democracy starts to crumble. And you had people like Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins also coming out and sucking up to Trump and saying, oh, this should never have been brought, while the rest of the Republicans came out and have been trying to delegitimize and undermine the law just to serve one person, and that one person is a wannabe authoritarian. To me, this whole thing is really, really worrying. That trial was run properly by a judge who behaved impeccably, by a jury who listened to all the evidence and reached a unanimous verdict, and there really shouldn't be any more said.
So, Cal Thomas, we have here a narcissist who can't take his beating.
Well, Matt, that's your opinion. He's certainly a narcissist. I agree with it, but it is not illegal to be a narcissist. And the Alito situation has nothing to do with this case. This is apples and oranges. That's something totally different. I will tell you that immediately after this decision, over 450,000 people contributed $35 million to Trump's campaign. This is not over. It will not last on appeal. It's got more holes in it than a slice of Swiss cheese. And I think it's going to lose, if not at the state level, then certainly at the federal or Supreme Court level. The problem is it's not going to happen until after the election. Now, what if Trump is vindicated, but he loses the election? That's going to be the ultimate unfairness.
Well, Cal, I've got a fact for you in relation to the vote in New York in 2020. It wasn't 5% as Trump lied. He got 23% of the vote in New York City, and he got 38% of the vote in New York State as a whole. So this idea that it was rigged against him on the jury because only 5% voted for him is a nonsense.
It's still a tiny percentage, Matt. And one of the questions I would have asked in discovery is, how many of you jurors voted for Alvin Bragg? He was an elected district attorney. And I would have asked the judge, did you vote for Alvin Bragg? And did the prosecutor who came over from the Justice Department, was he a contributor, along with George Soros, to Alvin Bragg's election? These are all important things which get to the heart of somebody's bias or credibility. None of those questions were asked. Again, this is going to be overturned. It's just a question of when.
Okay, Marion, what are the chances of it being overturned just because Trump supporters want it overturned?
Well, you know, unfortunately, and it actually pains me to say this, with the Supreme Court in its current makeup, it could go to the Supreme Court, and I think that they could find grounds. If you look at how they've treated the Trump-related cases so far, the slow walking of the January 6th case, the running back in with the Colorado case, the obvious bias of Samuel Alito, as has been evidenced, and Clarence Thomas, not to mention the Real Housewives of the Supreme Court, Ginny Thomas and Alito's wife, who have behaved disgracefully, turning up at January 6th at the riot in the case of Ginny Thomas, and egging on electors to return false electors in Arizona and in Michigan. So I think that this is my problem, that, and this is what I talk about, that people do not trust the American system of justice anymore, largely because of what's going on at the Supreme Court level. I think there are grounds for appeal, certainly. You know, anyone is entitled to appeal a conviction. It is their right. But I would just say to Cal, when you talk about a case being held in New York, what would you have happened, Cal? Would you have this case brought down to Missouri because it would suit Trump better, because he'd have more Republicans to vote for him there? Would you have a Democrat? I mean, you're talking about, you know, is there any other case where you would demand to know how the trial judge voted, or how the prosecutors or the jurors voted? Is there any other trial? And, you know, when you talk about this will happen to Democrats, the first thing that has to happen is you have to have evidence that somebody committed a crime. Now, if there is evidence that Joe Biden committed a crime somewhere along the way, let's have at it. Let's see, should it be prosecuted? And if it is, let's accept what the jury says.
Carl?
Well, first, since Marion, you're interviewing me along with Matt, I didn't know that was part of your role. I would just say that all of the stuff you said about Alito, about Arizona, about everything else has nothing to do with this case. And this is one of the problems in fashioning the opinion of the American people, bringing in all of these irrelevancies. Now, something that does have relevancy, I think, is a potential ruling, and there will be a ruling within a couple of weeks, certainly by the end of June, by the Supreme Court, on the presidential immunity case. Now, will it be complete immunity, which I doubt? Will it be partial immunity, which I think will be the case? But what kind of partial immunity, and will it affect this case yesterday in New York as it goes to appeal? That's something relevant. That's something we need to be watching, not all of this other stuff about Ginny Thomas and Clarence Thomas and flags upside down and the rest. They have no bearing on this case.
Listener says, do you need to find a judge that didn't vote at all? Because if he didn't vote for Biden, then he voted Trump and could equally be considered biased. Okay, we will leave it with you there. Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown. We'll have Larry Donnelly with us after 5 o'clock, because I want to put it to Larry as to whether it would be a bad idea to send Donald Trump to jail, because could it mean that it would destabilize America even further? So we'll talk about the potential jailing of Donald Trump after 5 o'clock. Now, though, we're going to take the... Having Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas wasn't enough for us. We've asked Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway and political columnist with the journal.ie, to join us for more on Donald Trump. He's been engaged in one of his post-trial rants in the last hour or so. In fact, some of the TV networks in the US have been switching it off because, he just goes into lie after lie after lie. Let's hear a little bit about how he believes this trial shouldn't be allowed to happen to presidents.
But I'm out there, and I don't mind being out there, because I'm doing something for this country, and I'm doing something for our Constitution. It's very important, far beyond me. And this can't be allowed to happen to other presidents. It should never be allowed to happen in the future. But this is far beyond me. This is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than my presidency. And the people understand it because I just see a poll just came out, the Daily Mail. That was the first one, came out, was done last night right after the verdict, where I'm up 6 points. 6 points from what we already were. We were leading fairly substantially. We're up 6 points in the Daily Mail poll. Now, maybe other polls come out and says something differently, but a lot of people have predicted it because the public understands and they understand what's going on. This is a scam. There's a rigged trial. It shouldn't have been in that venue. We shouldn't have had that judge. He should have allowed us to have an election expert. We had the best expert, most respected expert, head of the Federal Elections Commission. He was all set to testify. He was waiting for 2 days. And when it was his turn, Bragg's people protested. And the judge knocked him out, said, "You can't testify."
Ah, Donald Trump, sore loser again. Larry Donnelly. Were you surprised by the speed by which this jury decided that he was guilty on all charges?
In the end, I wasn't. I think that the prosecution did a very good job with what I've said and will continue to say was a relatively weak case against Donald Trump. I think it required a massive leap of faith from the jury, which the prosecution skillfully got them to take. And I think there are an awful lot of legal issues that I won't go into because they'll bore people to death. But when you look at the applicable statutes here, I think that the defense made big errors by focusing solely almost on Michael Cohen's credibility, as opposed to looking into the relevant law and examining and hammering home the realities of the relevant law Donald Trump was charged under, not to mention a statute of limitations issue that I still can't understand why it hasn't been more fully ventilated. That is, we're talking about a misdemeanor that happened in 2017. Now, obviously, if a felony was bootstrapped on top of that, but the two-year statute of limitations for that misdemeanor would have run in 2019. Why that didn't play a more prominent role in the litigation of this case, I don't know. But I expect all of these things to be ventilated fully on appeal. And I'm not sure Trump will succeed on appeal, but he certainly has good arguments on appeal.
Could this all end up benefiting him, though, in that it allows him to portray himself as a martyr, that he can continue to get his base fired up, that he is the victim of these dreadful people in the swamp?
That is one school of thought. And look, you know, no doubt everything that's happened so far has rolled off him like water off a duck's back, that it hasn't stuck. But here's the thing. This is not about the base. The base is going to be with him no matter what.
It's a cult at this stage, isn't it?
We know that. But Matt, the base isn't enough to get him over the line. He needs some people, whether they are Republicans who like him on a policy point of view better than Biden, but they can't stand him personally, or independents, and a whole range of different people, including new demographics that he has brought to his side, which are unlikely, Republican voters. He needs them to stick with him in order to win this election. This trial and its impact, what's most important to gauge is what the impact will be on them, and whether this label, convicted felon, is a very dangerous and damning label. Those are two damning words in the United States. They can now be affixed officially to Donald Trump. And I'm not going to sit here and say, when he has proven me wrong so many times before, that this is the one that might finally get him. But yeah, this could be the one that, in the number of his sufficient eyes, could get him. And it needs to be said that Joe Biden is still directly up against it. The polls are dead against him. It is still advantage Donald Trump. But this is a big problem for Trump, and he knows it.
Okay. There's lots of things I want to ask you in relation to all of this. But going back to what we discussed with Callum Arion earlier in the programme, was this an appropriate case for the authorities to have taken? Is there a certain degree of, yes, this was politically motivated, and it was impossible for Trump to get a fair trial in New York?
Two things I'd say. Number one is let's take it off Donald Trump. Some things, as he himself just admitted ago, to my astonishment, some things are bigger than Donald Trump. A big problem here is that in the United States, we elect prosecutors. We should not do that. No matter what anybody feels like about Donald Trump, we have a district attorney here who said that, look, I'm running for office. I want your vote in very liberal Manhattan County, New York. And one of the things I'm going to not be afraid to do is go after Donald Trump. That's one thing. That's a systemic issue. on the case in and of itself, my own view is that this was, look, it's an extremely complicated legal theory. I'm a lawyer for 25 years, and every time I read it and look at it and consider it, it's still, I'm still searching for what the essence of the crime, for what the essence of the issue here is. To me, it was a reach. If you look at New York City, if you consider the amount of money involved, if you consider, for instance, the district attorney has violent crime under his or her remit, why was this case brought? To me, it was a reach.
Okay, and you mentioned the whole thing with statute of limitations. Trump did, and we're going to take another clip now, speak about the timing of this case, claiming it was dead in the water and was revived only because he chose to run for the presidency this year.
And do you notice the timing? The timing was perfect. This case was dead. It was dropped by every agency, every governmental board. It was dropped by the highly respected Southern District. They said, no, there's no case here. It was dropped by federal election, and that's what it's about. This is about a federal election, not a state election. You're not even allowed to look at it. They took the state and the city, and they went into a federal election. They're not allowed. The people from federal election, Southern District, and Washington dropped the case. Everybody dropped the case. There was no case. Cy Vance dropped the case. And when Bragg came in, he said, this is the most ridiculous case I've ever seen. And who would have a certain person, again, gag order, who would have a certain person like this ever testify? He said, this is essentially one of the worst people I've ever seen, ever, to testify. He said, the craziest case I've ever seen. This is Bragg. Then when I announced I was running for president, long time later, they decided to revive this case.
Listener Mick Kinkle-Kenny says, come on, lads, why are we giving that Trump that airtime? Why waste time? He's a Muppet and nothing else. Well, because he could be the next president of the United States of America. And he could take, I think Larry is fair to say, based on what he has said, that his previous presidency was only a dry run for a much more aggressive agenda if he was to be restored to the White House.
And there is the very dangerous thing. It is very scary to consider what a Donald Trump's second term could be like, freed from all constraints of re-election, with no one of any repute willing to stand by him, the sole qualifier to serve in the administration being a willingness to be unwaveringly loyal to Donald Trump no matter what. All of that is a daunting specter, but none of that, in my view, changes the fact that this was, all things considered, a prosecution of dubious merit. But I will say, fair play to the prosecutors. They got this over the line. They convinced the jury, and Donald Trump is a convicted felon, and he can't escape that.
There are listeners who want to know, Larry, and you're the best person to ask, given that you're a lawyer yourself. How can he stand to be president if he's a convicted felon? And if he is allowed to stand, is he allowed, as a convicted felon, to vote for himself?
On the first one, simply put, there is no legal authority that says that a convicted felon cannot run for president of the United States. That is a systemic failing in the United States that we have not updated our law. When we look to the legal sources, legal authorities on these things, we go back centuries. There is nothing to say that he cannot do it. Now, Florida, where he is resident, as I understand it, does ban convicted felons from voting in elections. Now, there is an open issue. He won't become a convicted felon officially until sentencing in July. With an appeal pending, I don't know if the ban on voting would apply to him then or until the appeal route is exhausted.
Okay, now, and people want to know, is he going to go to prison? Now, can I suggest to you that politically it could be a disaster for Biden and the Democrats if Trump was to be imprisoned, because it would actually again perhaps go to this whole thing that he's been treated unfairly and disproportionately.
Well, the first point is I see almost no likelihood of him going to prison until his appeals are exhausted. I think he will effectively be out on bail until his appeals are exhausted, even in the event that he is sentenced to a term of imprisonment. If he were, let's leave aside the election, even imprisonment, given that he is, as a former president, entitled to Secret Service protection. The logistics of him as a former president with Secret Service protection in a prison is extraordinary. Now, what might be more likely is a period of home confinement. That could be more easily accommodated.
As a listener here, it's a great idea. I think I'd prefer to see Trump do community service, like picking up garbage on the side of the street, than serve a sentence in prison. The sight of Trump picking up garbage would be far more demeaning to his image.
Judge Marchand, who clearly has no use for Trump, Trump has no use for him. I think that Judge Marchand could be, how shall I put it, creative. And I think that would be an entirely appropriate sentence for Donald Trump.
And one final one. Listener says, Trump looks tired to me for the first time since this all started in 2016, which is an interesting point because much has been made, quite rightly, about Joe Biden's age and whether he's up to the job. But there have been a lot of signs recently that Trump is getting names wrong. He's gabbling incoherently. That for all of the talk about whether Biden is too old, could it be that at 77, that Trump himself isn't fit for purpose?
There's a very fair point there. Objectively, the two things I'd say. One is that Donald Trump's greatest gift as a politician is he plays the game and is held to a different standard than anybody else. So it doesn't really matter. The second thing I would suggest is that Donald Trump thrives on attention. He thrives on adulation above all else. He hasn't had much of that because he's been confined because of the trial. Now, when he can go bombstone in the country and have people licking at his every word and adoring him, I suspect some of the vim and vigor might be back.
Thank you very much, Larry Donnelly.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.